star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway, so watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Ah, yes, highway patrol, highway patrol. Like we mentioned a while ago, it's a return, finally. Back in studio, our good buddy Sergeant Jimmy Morgan in studio today, and for some reason out of nowhere, old Sergeant Woodard came in today as well. And gentlemen, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us today.
Well, we thought we surprised you today.
You surprised me, because I was like, I don't know when Jimmy's going to call.
Where's the drum roll?
Yeah, hey, you've been gone too long, anything like that.
It'll roll all right.
So, I kept waiting, like, is Jimmy going to call? Let me know what's coming in. Nothing from Jimmy. I don't know what's going on.
I meant to call yesterday or text.
That's what they always say.
I dropped the ball.
Yeah, you did.
So, anyway, we're here.
Yes, you are.
2020.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, I know one thing. This coffee is, I don't know who made this, but good grief.
Ed.
Yeah. Ed Poffel.
It was made with love.
He did. Fresh. I mean, he made it as soon as Jimmy walked in the door. Yeah,
fresh Joe.
Fresh
for you guys. Just for you.
Woo. Man. Well, today's program, let's see here. We're going to talk about anything that anybody wants to talk about. Hope it's some kind of traffic related.
Don't throw that out like that.
Well, you ever do that on the side of the road? Somebody asks you a question, you're thinking, well, why did they ask me that question? I'm just a trooper. Well, sometimes they just, they think we know a little bit more than others. And so I'll answer them. What's the worst I can say? I don't know.
Jimmy, I don't know if people know this, but Jimmy's been doing radio for 20 years.
We were talking about that as well ago. He's got a little something from his lieutenant that
20 years. So you know a little something.
A little something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know a little something.
Hey, I know when to run, too. Okay, I'm throwing that out there. I can run.
Oh, you guys are in rare form today.
Yeah.
It's going to be something.
Backstroke ain't got nothing on me. So anyway. So today's program, sponsored by, Smitty's.
Oh, Smitty's.
Right down the road here. You don't know what you're missing.
Really?
Yeah. I had the omelet this morning.
Omelet?
Ooh. Okay. And $20 gift certificate if you can answer today's trivia. Now, we got the Rook here on Sidekick here. Call him intern for radio preppers. We just call him intern. Is that what we're going to do, Steve?
That's fine.
Okay, intern. Now, I don't know if intern... if he doesn't have a trivia question, then I'll just come up with one. But anyway, we'll think of something here in a minute.
Right.
And $20 gift certificate. It pays to listen.
It does, man. Lunch, breakfast, the Smitty's. Yeah,
literally.
I tell you.
So me and Steve was in Navasota yesterday and talking about some things. One of the things, what I did, the last posting that I saw from TxDOT for 2019 was 3419 our state fatalities. That's somewhere around 8-9 fatalities per day.
All right.
In the state. And that number's not going to hold. And the reason I say that, a lot of people don't realize when we work a crash that there's a 30-day period we wait to make sure how everybody comes out. Sometimes they don't make it, and then they have to add that number. So in saying that, I think we're going to be somewhere around the 3,500 mark when it's all said and done. Interesting thing, I had another friend of mine, Brian Wasco. He is the SES sergeant up in Killeen now. We were looking at some things that, as far as the state, how do we compare? What are we doing? What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? What can we improve on? One of the things I noticed when we were going back to, say, 2002, 2003, this state was averaging 3,800 fatalities a year with less population. We're around 28, 29 million right now, and I think the nation population is about 327. So if we got more people on our highways, why are we having less fatalities? And a lot of people, if they had to take a guess, would probably answer, no, we're working more fatalities. Because they, you know what I'm saying? It just feels like we are. And so we were just talking yesterday. I was bragging on TxDOT with the rumble strips. You've heard me talk about that on the show today. I got to get, hey, look, I think how many lives we'll never know. How many lives they say, look, even me get distracted or something like that. You hit them, it wakes you, understand it. And they're adding them into the center lane now, even when you're passing, just in case they want to make sure you know you're passing, that you're not crossing into mm-hmm. a path and having head-on collision. So one of the effective tools that you see on our highways, it's helped law enforcement when on traffic stops. And just the other day, one of our troops got struck on a roadside traffic stop again. Yesterday we had one of our enhanced enforcement days for the move-over law. I continue to look at numbers on that. 2018, we stopped somewhere in the neighborhood of 41,000 folks. Up through November, we had stopped up to about 25. So we're a little reduction on that. So hopefully people are catching on to that. They're still using the excuse they didn't know it was a law, but I don't know. So we added some vehicles. That's what I wanted to kind of go back to, is go back. What did the legislation do this year that affects us as motorists? And one of the things is the move over law, because what did they do? They added a couple more vehicles, right? So the contractor and their TxDOT, the garbage trucks and utility workers were the three. So we got about six vehicles total that when you see. So at the end of the day, still are trying to remember if it's one of them vehicles. If you see old boy, it don't matter if it, Steve will say this all the time. If you're not going to stop and help some old boy out, especially if he's changed a flight, at least slow down, move over for him, yeah. right? There. I mean, so that right there gets you done right there. I mean, so.
I've been there for changing a tire on the side of the road.
Somebody asked me, have I almost been hit before? The answer is yes. If you do this job long enough, every trooper will have some kind of a little story where you felt the breeze and you just got fortunate, you know, whatever. And so over the years, I think back in the day when I started, everything was from driver's side. And, you know, a traffic stop's probably on a patrol officer, probably the most dangerous parts of his job every day, because there is no such thing, especially now, and never really has been, but there is no such thing as a routine traffic stop anymore. So many things to think about. Not only the person that you have stopped, but the people that's coming by and everything else. And we continue to have officers struck. I've been trying to get numbers from our agency to tell people what that number is. I don't have it. I wish I did have it because it would show the importance why we continue to have these enforcement days. You want to add it to that, Steve, at all? Or
you know, we just had a deputy in California. Check, look. She seen an elderly lady fall, Craig, in the roadway. This just happened 2 days ago. She stops her car. She goes over to assist the elderly lady up and across the street. And as she walks back to her car, she gets hit by a car, and now she's dead. Mm. Amber Lista. You know what I mean? So it's real. But, you know, I look at the numbers, like Jimmy, we talk about this all the time. The numbers are reducing because of enforcement, education, and people actually taking responsibility. Driver's education is now inundated in the schools now to where, you know, kids need to understand how to interact with a police officer, et cetera. And I think we're doing a great job here in the state educating not only our young people, but our seasoned drivers. You know, that this is real, and we got to share the road. And, the main goal is get from point A to B, to be honest with you.
Really, I think schools, I know it's kind of went away for a little bit. I think there's probably some schools that still have it, but I think parents would enjoy it too, because we're doing a lot of parent taught driving and all that. And, you know, parents, they work, everybody's got things to do. That class in high school, you know, if you want to have an elective, certainly if a kid needs trying to get his driver license, they ought to bring that class back. Mm-hmm. The driver's ed or safety driver, and have that teacher out. You know, that's the way we used to do it back in the day. And then, you know, where you focus at least an hour a day in that class. It could be an elective type class. Some kids need it. Some kids don't need it. So, and really focus on first for teenagers, why are we having the fatality crashes that we're and really have a chance to sit down and visit with them. Because I was telling people the other day that I was coming back from Belleville the other day and got up towards Milano, and this car had been on my rear for a good while. And I noticed when she got up there, she had that phone in her hand and whatever. So, again, I think the phone is, as far as distracted driving comes, as it continues to move up the ladder, is probably the one of the main dangerous things that, well, not just the youth, but certainly our teenagers. It's just a thing they have trouble of putting down. So you see it all the time. If you drive around and look, you see a lot of people on the phone still. And, yes, we have a texting law. The legislatures, that's one thing they did not change. Matter of fact, I'd got some phone calls. Some reason somebody had thought they had heard that the fines were going up on that. So if the fines were going up on that, they would have done that during the session. And I don't see any increase in fines. So there was a lot of rumors going on of what was else was coming out, and I don't know of anything. And so, certainly we tell people that distracted driving is just comparing it to somebody impaired by alcohol. Look, you're not looking, right? At least somebody impaired, at least trying to do good. You know, he may be, his impairment may hurt him a little bit, but at least he's trying to look. Driving blind down the highway at 70 miles an hour, 102 feet per second. No. That's not good. Okay. So anyway, that's right. Where we're at today. Do we have any phone calls or anything yet?
We don't yet, but I was going to see if you want to take a break real fast.
I do. And I'll ask Darren Turner if he has a trivia. If not, okay, We'll come back with a trivia.
We'll do that. All right. 979-836-9937. You have questions today? 836-9937. Also, we check our emails as well. Mail, M-A-I-L. KWHI.com. We'll be back with more Safety Talk coming up after this.
Select Furnishings in Brenham wants you to shop small and support your local community. They're your one-stop shop for all your furniture needs and so much more. Enjoy in-house financing with no credit check. Buy there, finance there, pay there. See something you like? Want to customize it for your space? No problem. Select Furnishings special orders too. Once you find that perfect dining room table, drop into Tina's Decor for all the unique farmhouse chic items you need to make your favorite room shine. Also, be sure to ask the friendly folks at Select Furnishings about their marvelous inventory of Circle E candles. All this and so much more can be found at your favorite local furniture store, Select Furnishings in Brenham. Stop in and see them at their new location at 1900 Highway 290 West and visit their website at selectfurnishings.net. Open Monday through Friday from 9 till 6 and Saturday from 9 till 4.
MarriageAndFamilyMinistry.org understands the need for help in relationships, especially during challenging and difficult times. Well, help has arrived. MarriageAndFamilyMinistry.org is hosting a Christian Marriage Weekend retreat on January 24th through the 26th and March 27th through the 29th. The retreats will be held at the brand new Best Western Plus Hotel and Suites in Waller. Each retreat will include 4 Bible-based, power-packed, interactive seminars, all books and material, relationship building and networking, one-on-one counseling sessions, ongoing Christian counseling support, and paid hotel accommodations. To schedule your Christian Marriage Weekend retreat, call 979-645-2446 or go online to marriageandfamilyministry.org. Deadline to register for the January retreat is January 18th. When the marriage is strong, so is the family. Go out with joy and be led forth with peace by scheduling your Christian Marriage Weekend retreat today. Go online to marriageandfamilyministry.org or call 979-645-2446.
You have questions about the 2020 census, and we have answers. Let's go to caller number one.
Well, what is it?
Good question. It's a simple questionnaire that counts everyone living at your address on April 1st. Next caller?
So why should I take it?
Because it guides how billions in funding gets used each year for things like clinics, fire stations, public transit, and so much more. Caller 3, go ahead.
What's it have to do with representation?
Well, your state's population determines the number of seats it has in the U.S. House of Representatives for the next 10 years. Next?
How do you take it?
Just look for an invitation in the mail starting March 2020, then complete it online, by phone, or by mail. Let's go to our final caller.
Is my information safe?
Yes, it can't be shared with anyone. It's the law. Thanks for joining us, and don't forget to shape your future. Start here. Learn more at 2020census.gov.
Tune in Tuesdays at 9 a.m. for Community Corner on KWHI, AM 1280 and FM 101.7. Community Corner is a program to keep you informed about happenings in Washington County. Tuesday, January 21st, Craig will be speaking with Drs. Jones and Alford about Walk with a Doc and someone from the Washington County Chamber of Commerce about their annual banquet. If you have an event that you are planning and would like to share the information with the public, contact Holly at 979-836-3655. Community Corner, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Friendly Country KWHI.
Welcome back once again, Safe to Talk here on KWHI, AM 1280 from 101.7. Yes, the duo are back, Woodard and Morgan in the studio today. Questions 979-836-9937. And a gentleman did have a call off the air just a moment ago asking about stopping at a railroad track.
Right.
You're stopping at a railroad track. First off, you're there and the train stops for whatever reason, whether they're switching tracks or pushing cars, whatever, and they're there. And he said they were there for like 30 minutes at least.
Right.
He goes, cars started, you know, you're there for 30 minutes, you know, you're going to get impatient. They're cutting out of line, you turning the other way, turning back around and trying to find another way around the train. And he's asking, is that legal to do that? Can you just leave out of line like that? You turn out of line?
So let me see if I can pick this thing apart. Let's talk about the train first. So there was a day in the transportation code, there was a 10-minute wait.
Yeah.
Okay. They took that out. Because
no more
cases being filed. They basically said train has commerce. They have the right of way. And so none of them cases were going anywhere. So there is no law about a train, how long it can block a roadway.
And what if it's blocking a roadway and you got emergency vehicles trying to get through?
Well, okay. That's up to that emergency crew to find an alternate route. Now, there is a number on the crossbuck. Okay. Now, if you got time to call it and figure out how long you're going to be there, that's one thing. I don't know. Or the sheriff's department may have a number for them to call to make sure. Because there could be, and that train may be stopped because there's something going up the track, maybe a wreck or something. And he's having to stop where he's at because of that. So you don't never know what's going on while they're stopped there. As far as making and coming out of line, making a U-turn, you can make a U-turn as long as you're not in 500 feet of an incline or a curve in the roadway. That would block your vision from doing so. So at intersections, you can even do a U-turn unless there's a sign saying no U-turns allowed. So you can do that. You got to do it in a safe manner, obviously, not be involved in an accident. So, I would say anything over 10, 15 minutes, yeah, I can see where people lose their patience. But, yeah, the emergency personnel will just have to find a different route. Obviously, if they can move when as soon as they can, you would hope they would be doing that, but sometimes they don't happen. Okay?
Yep. All right. Hope that answered your question. If not, call us back, and we'll try to get one better for you.
Trivia question today. What weight are you required to have the emergency breakaway device case when your trailer comes separated from your vehicle if you're pulling a trailer?
Okay.
Because they increase that.
Ah,
that's okay. One of the 2019 deals. Right. So
the breakaway chains.
No, you have a breakaway device when your trailer comes separated from the vehicle being towed.
Yeah.
If it separates, right, there's a system, a breakaway system, that locks the trailer brakes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At what weight are you required to have that on your trailer?
Okay.
So.
All right.
That's simple enough.
You know, the answer, 836-9937, 979-836-9937. Winner gets, again, what is it today? Did you bring?
$20 Smitty's.
Smitty's.
Mm. Yeah. Do you recommend the omelet?
Well, I would, but I ate it.
Yeah. I tell you what it is. They call it firecracker. It's chicken fried steak. Yeah, it's chicken fried steak topped with queso and jalapenos.
Wow.
That's where it's at.
I reckon you men knew to get there before I did.
Man.
It's pretty good.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Steve, we lost 134 officers last year in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Texas led. 19 officers. 47 by gunfire. Mm. 23 by automobile crash. And here's a nation number of struck by vehicle. I was kind of interested in. Then these are deaths. This is not just struck and survived. This four, we lost 14 mm-hmm. of the nations as a report they put out. So, again, got another call?
Phone call. Yeah, we have a phone call. Good morning. This is Safety Talk today.
Good morning. Is it 3,000 pounds?
No, ma'am. That used to be one of the numbers out there, but unfortunately, it went up.
It went up. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thanks for the call. There you go. 979-836-9937 today. Answer the trivia question this morning.
Let's see here. Going through some things. Just remind people as we start the new year, just tell me when to quit.
Right now.
Okay. I thought you were doing something over there.
Good morning. This is Safety Talk today.
I need to ask a question. Excuse my voice. I have a sore throat, so I might have to repeat myself so you can understand me.
Yes, ma'am.
I like the gentleman to explain to me what the horn is for on the car. When can I use my horn?
The horn, the car horn. What's it for?
I'm looking at Steve. Do you want this?
I'm in Texas. I'm in Blenheim.
Oh, you're not in Mississippi? That's two different. Okay.
No. I got a story on a horn.
One thing we don't recommend you use it for is to aggravate another driver. You know, there's a law in state law that we actually go over in our basic police academy studies, excessive use of horn. You know,
unnecessary use of horn.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised, what all that falls under. You know, you got my buddy that has the Craig. I mean, Ed, whoever has the train horn on his car, et cetera.
Right.
But that horn is an interesting piece of safety equipment to your vehicle. It's an inspection item, it's to warn other individuals of an unsafe action. Maybe you're warning them that there's a patch of deer in the roadway, or you're warning them that they're getting ready to collide with you, et cetera. But one thing we don't want folks using that horn for is an exchange of words, like a beep or whatever like that, right? Because I'm telling you.
What goes along with the beep?
I'm telling you now.
Family radio. I'm sure I got my delay on here.
It's some people that will get mad at you
mm-hmm.
when you lay that horn on them.
Yeah.
So we want you to use that horn as a safe. That's what it is, a safety feature for your vehicle, but not an aggressive feature.
So in Texas, your horn has to emit a sound of 200 feet. That's what on an inspection.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask is I drive to Belleville once a week.
You did what?
The road is perfect.
She drives the Belleville.
Oh, okay.
And thick. And I get a slow poke in front of me, 55 in a 70-mile zone. Uh-huh. And I have to travel behind him 5 miles before I get to it. You know, the road gets wider.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my husband, I'm going to use the horn. He tells me not to, and I ask him, why is there a horn in the car then if I can use it? He should move over to the shoulder,
mm-hmm.
but it happens to me. I go once a week, and it happens at least twice a week. And I don't understand why the people don't move over. They know we're talking about a shoulder at least 12 feet wide.
They even have the passing lanes between Belleville and Brenham.
Yeah, I saw that, and then I have to wait till I get to the passing lane.
I got you.
But
so your question, Dad.
I'm courteous. I move over every time somebody gets behind me. Even if I do the speed limit in a fast lane, I move over and let the other people go. And then people don't give you the courtesy back. And everybody, my grandchildren, everybody, don't use the horn, mother or grandma. But I want to. I want them to move over.
Right. So, traffic is slower than the posted speed limit under the use of the improved shoulder. That is one of the reasons why they allow traffic. It says may. It doesn't say shall. It says may use the improved shoulder to allow faster traffic to go by. However, as you noted, not everybody uses that for whatever reason. But, in that instance, blowing the horn I'm like Steve. It may cause a little.
They might get mad at me.
yeah, just a little bit. So the main thing, you can tap a horn versus just laying down on a horn. Yeah,
to make them be aware of it. I wasn't going to get on the horn like forever. I've been wanting to ask you that every time I listen to your show,
mm-hmm.
and I finally got to, and thank you.
Well, yes, ma'am. Thanks for your call. So, thank you. So, Steve, back in the day when I was in East Texas.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of horns.
Yeah.
There was a truck driver that had one of them train horns you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
And he used to come through the little town of Groveton.
And he'd let you know.
He'd lay down on that horn.
Yeah, he'd let you know.
He liked to scare people with it.
Right.
So, as a young troop, I think, man, there's got to be something in the book on that.
Sure.
I look, unnecessary use of horn.
It's there.
And so that's why I know, yeah, we do have a horn law. And he knew, there. After I got done, he knew we had a horn law.
It's there.
We got another phone call coming in this morning here. Good morning. Rose. This is Safety Talk today.
Good morning. Is the answer 4,500 pounds?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
All right, we got a correct answer for the trivia today.
4,500 pounds. Yes, ma'am.
All right. And I'll tell you what, if you want to hang on a line, I'll put you on hold. We'll get information from you here just in a moment, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
So, yeah, 4,500 pounds is what you're required to have that. So most of your tandem axle-type trailers are going to meet that. The axles are normally rated somewhere around 3,500 pounds or more.
Yeah.
So when you're getting your double-axle-type trailers, that's going to be a clue. Now, as you know, our farmers out there, they get a little exception to the rule. Right.
Right. Correct.
Do they get that exception? I don't think they get the exception of that one. I know they get an exception of the safety chains.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we're on the safety chains on them gooseneck type trailers, they don't have to have the safety chains, but the breakaway device takes a place of that. So,
right.
So if you're that farmer and you fall on that, make sure you also have the breakaway device on that 4,500-pound trailer. So,
right.
One of the other things, just a few things to go over in 2019, is to remember that one of the big things is they took away the photo camera systems based on the red lights and signals and stuff.
It was repeated.
And they were allowing people that already had contracts in place, let that play out. So we already getting pretty close where, and I don't know how many cities we're still talking about out there, but there may be one or two still left out there where they're letting a contract. But so that went away.
It was a lot of laws changed in the books. And that was one that I looked at actually last week just to kind of get some clarification.
Right.
And I talked about it on another radio show. And, you know, that red light camera system, it was a good deterrent,
The intent was good.
The intent was good, but it was a good deterrent, if you will, kind of like a voluntary compliance type of deal. For instance, if you see a highway patrolman on the highway, you're going fast. Well, you see him. Well, you slow down because you see the trooper. That's voluntary compliance. But
if you're not in Houston.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
But a lot of those red light camera systems, you know, they were just having some faults and a lot of complaints. You know, mm-hmm. folks were making legal right hand turns and receiving tickets. And it was just a problem. And, you know, I think a lot of people are going to be happy to see that go, maybe. I don't know.
I think the intent was they were supposed to be looking at intersections where they had a lot of crashes.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And the intent of the camera was to have enforcement when law enforcement was not around.
Sure.
To prevent some of these type of people running lights and having these. By the way, that's one of the crashes out there that I had that listed on my list this morning somewhere around here that, you know, if you get cited at an intersection first, fail to stop at a stop sign, disregard a red light or whatever it may be, that fine starts at $500.
Starts.
If there's anybody got any injuries, and ends at two, If there's serious bodily injury on that type of accident and you get convicted, it can go up to $4,000. So the reason they had that, because the state was looking at, of all the accidents, percentage-wise, how were we, where are we having these accidents?
At the intersection.
So where we're having a lot of intersection accidents. Yeah. So they went up on the fine on this thing. Now, I can't tell you whatever JP in the state of Texas does, that they go along with that or whatever it may be. Sure. I'm just telling you what the transportation code says.
Right.
And so, like Steve was saying, there start to be some glitches. And one of the complaints was the yellow light quick lighting. In other words, from green, real quick yes. yellow. And yeah. I heard that, okay? And I actually experienced that one time myself. So mm-hmm. I think there's other things. But anyway, if the contract was in place by May 7, 2019, then that contract's allowed to lay out. So right. we got another call?
We got a phone call here sure. today. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk this morning.
Hello?
Hello. Safety Talk.
Intern, you got this one.
Hello? We had somebody there. Call back. I tell you, sometimes, folks, if you get on and you hear them talk, we're waiting for a break in the conversation before we go to the phone calls. So if it answers and it's just talking, just hang with us. I think that's what happened there.
Oh.
I answered it, and it sat there for there a couple of minutes. So let's try this again here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
Yeah, I got a question about that train that he was talking about earlier.
Yes, sir.
Saying that you can turn around and go back. What if it's a one-way street? I'll okay. hang up and listen.
Got a problem.
There you go. I think he's just
you don't have to
question.
Hang up. You don't have to hang up. I got to answer that right
now. I think you can answer that, brother.
Probably answered yourself, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ain't true. But yeah. Obviously, yeah. No, you can't do that on one-way street. So, yeah. No. Not if on one-way street. Yeah. You don't have to hang up. I can tell you that right now. But yeah. Another big thing, driver responsibility program, better known as surcharges. So people would get fined, insurance, whatever it may be, and fine their, may even get DWI or whatever, and habitual violator or whatever. Then all of a sudden, they start getting these surcharges. Well, my experience with surcharges, sitting back watching this for a number of years, is... And a lot of people, like your sheriffs, will tell you this, that it almost kind of created another type of person being placed in jail for a nonviolent offense, okay? People would get behind on these things, you know, get family and everything. They had to make decisions where the money. And you get behind on that, you know, whatever. It don't take. And that charge was not a one-time fee. You remember that charge was carried out. Three years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So depending what your surcharges was, it put a lot of people in a bind. Okay. I don't know what the intent of that was when it first started out, but I know where it was going. And I think that's one of the reasons why they chose to go ahead and do away with that.
Right.
Hopefully a lot of people are getting their license cleared up, because it was overestimated, Steve, over 1 million people would have their license cleared up
right.
when this went away. So that'll give you an idea of how many people we're talking about. So anyway, yeah. that was a big thing here in Texas, and doing away with that.
Right. And when all that came into play September 1st of 2019, you know, we started getting a lot of calls on that because, you know, you had a lot of people that had surcharge business, and all those surcharges, you know, of course, they were assessed, waived, and no future charges were assigned. But here's the deal. You're still going to be responsible for any other suspensions, fines, or fees. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's something that people have to understand. You're still going to be responsible for that on your driving.
The only way your license actually got cleared up, if that was the only thing preventing you to get your license cleared
correct.
Up. But if you
correct.
Were still under suspension for certain things, whatever, that didn't drop that. It just dropped the surcharge and went along with it.
Correct.
All right, we got another phone call here today. Good morning. This is Safety Talk.
Good morning, gentlemen. The question I have regarding back to the trailers. Just say bumper trailers, mm-hmm. chains on them. They have to be crossed? Or no?
So if you would ask me that question a couple of years ago, I said, you have to be crossed. But in the Safety Administration Code, there was a paragraph in there, and this is where we got our, a lot of troopers were reading, and it said you would put the safety chains in a manner that it would keep the tongue if it came off from hitting the asphalt. So looking at that, a lot of people, a lot of law enforcement was saying, well, they mean cross. That's where that was coming from. However, that got challenged in court, and the defense won. They brought it up and says, yeah, you can gather all you want, but it doesn't say cross. So so based on that, I would say best practice is to cross them. But if you didn't have them crossed, can I write you a citation? The answer is no.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Because if you get the chains are short enough, it's not going to come down and hit the asphalt, right?
Is that yeah, but the saying? Crossing of the chains makes a saddle.
It really yeah. does.
Well, it creates a saddle. It's right, safer. Right. But I was saying, like, if the chains yeah. are short enough, they're not going to
right.
go all
That's,
the way down.
Right. Yeah. I would tell you that there's I've seen all kind of different leads. I've seen chains where they're dragging a road, so they don't want they
nothing. That's,
I'm laughing.
That,
yeah.
That's
I
not safe.
That.
Is that still a safety chain then? It's like that.
You don't want that.
No,
okay.
No.
You guys want to take a break real fast?
Yeah, I'm going to get some more coffee. Then we're going to come back and talk about some hemp.
Hemp.
Yeah. You hear me? You hear me? Some hemp.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Things are going to get weird here for a minute. So just come back to us. It's 479-836-9937. 836-9937 or mail mail at kwhi.com. We'll be back. More safety talk coming up after this.
Kay's Mutt Hut, a doggy resort and ranch nestled on a beautiful ranch in the country, is specifically designed to ensure your dog's safety and comfort. Your best friend will experience a pleasurable and incomparable experience while giving you the peace of mind that your pet is safe, healthy, and happy. They offer dog boarding, daycare, and spa services. Let Kay's Mutt Hut be your pet's home away from home. Transportation to and from the ranch is available. Kay's Mutt Hut, 6955 Hummingbird Road in Brenham. Find out more online at kaysmutthut.com.
Do your favorite animals bark, moo, cluck, neigh, swim, or fly? Then Brenham Produce is your one-stop feed source. Not only are we one of the oldest Purina dealers in the country, we are also a full-service feed mill where we blend feed rations each day using only the freshest ingredients. If we already don't have the feed you're looking for, William Ludeman can assist you in developing a custom blend specifically tailored to the needs of your cattle herd. We are here to simplify your day and maximize your herd's potential. At Brenham Produce, we proudly carry a full assortment of cattle feeds and supplements, but we also carry feed for your backyard chickens, floating pellets for your fish, quality dog food, deer supplements, square bells and round bells. We have all of your feed needs covered. Brenham Produce has been proudly serving the surrounding communities since 1931. Stop by 1103 South Market Street and give us a try at the Little Feed Mill in downtown Brenham.
My grandma always says that everyone counts, and everyone who lives with us is special. Like my aunt, who took me on my first bus ride to the library, or my older cousin, who walked me to my first day of school. Even my mom's friend, who lives with us and brought her newborn baby home from the hospital. In our house, there's a lot of people to care for each other, and each one of them is special. My grandma, my cousin, and the baby who I have so much fun playing with. I love them all, and I'm so happy we all live together.
Every child needs to be counted on the 2020 census because the census makes every moment count by informing funding for schools, roads, healthcare, and more. So be sure all children in your home are counted on the 2020 census. It's your chance to help them for the next 10 years. You can respond online, by phone, or by mail. Shape your future. Start here. Learn more at 2020census.gov.
Paid for by the U.S. Census Bureau.
If you see a police officer, fire truck, EMS, TxDOT, or a tow truck driver with their lights on the side of the road, remember, you must move over or slow down. This is Sergeant Stephen Woodard with the Texas Department of Public Safety reminding you, if you do not vacate the lane closest to the public servant or slow down 20 miles per hour below the speed limit, you can incur a fine of at least $200. The move over law is in effect for your safety and others that serve you in the state of Texas. Remember, move over or slow down. It's the law.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back once again. Safe to talk here on KWHI, AM 1280 and 101.7. Just a couple of minutes in front of the top of the hour, but we've got Sergeant Morgan, Sergeant Woodard. They're here today answering your questions about safety on those roadways, the highways, byways, back roads, Caliche, county roads, Caliche, waterways, skyways. Again, you guys, we always go over. You guys cover it all. You got it. Eyes and ears.
We really do, Jim. If you think about that, sky, water, Craig, so in our cars, in our patrol cars, we have the ability to track each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you open my computer, you'll see a little patrol car going around. But yesterday I seen a plane. So we can also track the aircraft as well.
Oh, yeah.
In our patrol car. Technology, man. Anyway, what about hemp?
Before we get into all this, let's congratulate our winner today.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Mary Welbrock today. Mary Welbrock from Brenham.
Congratulations.
She was our winner to Smitty's Cafe today.
Awesome. Wow.
She knew the question. She's smart. Smart cooking.
You know, the reason that's $20, Steve, is because that's more than enough for one. So the odds are, if she doesn't take somebody with you, I may get a call.
I may get a call.
Oh, I'm just throwing out. Hey, did you know, of all weather conditions, that fog is considered one of the most dangerous conditions on the roadway?
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Well, first of all, I can see that. I would guess.
No, that's the deal. You can't see.
I was just saying.
But what I'm saying is, I would think it was rain. Huh? Rain. That's what I would
think.
Well,
yeah, yeah. I can we agree it's dangerous?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, distracted driving has to do with your eyes, right? Because you're not looking.
True.
Well, if you're looking and it's foggy, you can't see. Well, I let's put it this way. I have a brother that's paralyzed because of fog.
Yeah. Oh, Rocky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just, so this time of year, again, when we're hitting these foggy mornings, a couple pointers, slow down, headlights, low beam.
Yeah,
please. Following distance, get to an intersection, can't really see, roll your windows down, turn your radio off. Maybe you can hear some traffic coming, whatever. That's that. When you get in that situation, that is a bad feeling.
It's scary.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Stephanie, that crash she had on Thanksgiving.
That's still today is the largest accident investigation in the history that our department has worked.
Yeah, really? So,
So, yeah, over fog. So, yeah. Hemp.
Yep. What?
Oh, my God. How can I start this?
exactly.
can I just say that when new laws and legislations put into place, most times, if not all the time, they didn't call Jimbo. Okay. Can we just establish that?
All right.
Sometimes I wish they did. Okay. And I don't always know the stuff that behind the scenes that where they come up with this stuff. But when this law came out, I said to myself, it's going to be an issue. There's going to be some problems among law enforcement.
Yeah.
we got to stop being questioned right now where, 3,000 some pounds on a traffic stop.
Wow.
Now, when I think of hemp, I was thinking, okay, somebody's going to have a small bag, whatever, then we're going to have to, okay, we're going to see it. First, you got to have documentation. There's a certain way it has to be packaged, can't be packaged with. So there's some rules to follow. It may be hemp, but you still have to follow some rules.
Yes.
And I know each district attorney across the state has got with their law enforcement and come up with some type of plan. Whatever that plan is, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The bottom line is you're going to when you set up on that stand, you're going to have to tell the jury what it tested.
Right.
So, that trooper on the side of the road, he got that's a judgment call, is it not? He's thinking, hey, it's the real deal. He ain't got a lab in his car.
Yeah.
Right? Well, that 3,000 pounds turned out to be him. It wasn't marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I'm just saying that is a law change. I know we're trying to get labs out there where we have quick process, but my deal on the side of the road back in the day when I was stopping cars, if it smelled looked like marijuana, you didn't have to worry how it was tested, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't no level THC, the 3%.
Yeah.
But now there is. And I'm just saying that that law enforcement, you know, this job is tough enough as it is. Now you're sitting there, what do you do? Okay. So, like I say, I can't tell a law enforcement what to do. Every situation, it's on its own merit. And they're certainly going under revised of the department's policy and the whatever district attorney they're working with or county attorney. But it's it was a big change for us in 2019 going into this year. So I ended at that. Thanks for having us back, Craig, Steve.
You know, if you have any driver's license questions, I tell folks this. You can go to the DPS website and you can go to our driver's license section. And up under that section, if you have any frequent questions, there's a section in there that you can click for questions. You have to include your driver's license number, name, address, etc., so they can be able to pull your info. And then it'll allow you to type in the comments your questions. It'll answer some of those surcharge questions, etc., if you have anything lingering. That's probably the best way to get to us other than calling us. So I appreciate you, Craig. And we appreciate our intern, our friend. Yeah. You got anything you want to say to the people?
I'm good. Oh, well.
You make a good trooper.
Yeah, I tell you.
Man, just come on in. Yeah, I'm good. Whatever you need me to do.
Oh, man. You know, the Real ID Act is still goes in effect in October, and obviously we still remind people, if you are wanting to come to our driver license, you need to, that same website that Steve's talking about here, set you up an appointment. And when you show up,
man,
you get on the kiosk, you type your information in, they know you're there, and about 10 minutes later, you're getting up, and the person standing there for an hour, he'd want to know how you're getting in line.
That is the way to
so
go.
So it's just like a doctor's appointment. Set it up. Okay.
Appointment's an appointment, right?
Jimmy, I think people think we're kidding or we're just kind of put. We've been talking about Real ID Act for a while.
Yeah.
Well, and now it's here.
Well, 4 years ago in October is when the DPS started that. And that's over a 2005 legislation, federal legislation at that we're doing.
All right. Thanks, you guys, for coming in today. Appreciate you.
Yeah, we'll be back 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from today. Mark it down. I've got it. I'll put it on my calendar here. A Safety Talk returning here on a KWHI AM, K269GU FM in Brenham. Sergeant Morgan, Sergeant Woodard will be with us again here on KWHI. I'm just doing my job.